We're going to jump straight into this message. I'm going to try and get this done in 35 minutes, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Listen to what the Bible says. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. I don't know what Bookie does to that poor child, you know. Sets the little one off, bless her. But faith, hope, and love. Faith, it means that we trust in God. We trust in His Word. Hope is that we have an earnest expectation, an assurance that things are going to change. You know what? Maybe you're in a situation right now and you think, man, is this ever going to change? We have hope. We have biblical hope, an expectation and an assurance that things will change. And love, God's love. God's love that's been shed abroad in our hearts and is outworking amongst us. Pastor Chris and I were talking just briefly before the service, and we were saying how wonderful it was this morning during setup, because there was such a wonderful atmosphere here this morning at 8:30, pouring with rain, people coming in drenched, but there was such a brilliant atmosphere, and people were just singing worship songs. We were singing songs from yesterday. There was just the love of God being shed abroad amongst us. It was wonderful. But these three remain, and we've got to ensure as a church that these three are embedded in our culture, in who we are as a church, both corporately as a church and individually. These three remain. And we know that over this year, we've been through a bit of a teaching year, haven't we? We've been on that, you know, moving away from that crowd experience to the life of a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus. We've had a lot of teaching. Can you remember the names of the series that we've done? Any of them? Yes, Pastor Chris. Thank you. He took notes. Christology. Christology was the first one. Jesus is. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is fully man, fully God. Jesus is exalted. I don't know. I can't remember all the other stuff. Jesus is prophet, priest, king. We learned so much about who Jesus is. After Christology, what did we do? Soteriology, yes. So Shoma, well done. Jesus saves. And we heard what Jesus saves, how He saves us. What does that mean? It means that we are justified, just as if I've never sinned. Hey, isn't that awesome? It's just as if I've never sinned. We're reconciled to God. We were separated from God. We've been reconciled. We've been justified. We've been made righteous. We've been made righteous. Oh, wow. This is brilliant. You're getting them all up just one after the other. Man, that deserves a hand clap, because they're all over the place. That's brilliant. Let me see if you can get another one. Forgiven. Oh. Forgiven. Raised in newness of life. Okay, we'll stick to reconciled for now. Well done, Lalala. For those listening to this message, Lalala has managed to find all the titles, and he's put them up on the screen as I've gone through them without any prompting. Brilliant. Then we did pneumatology. Remember, Jesus empowers by the Holy Spirit. We learned about who the Holy Spirit is, that He is... I've nearly said the wrong thing. We learned about the person of the Holy Spirit. We learned about the empowerment. There we go. There it is. With the empowerment, the fruits, the gifts, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Wow, you should get a rise. You should get a raise. Well done. But our foundation scripture for today is these three remain. So you know what? We can go through Christology. We can go through soteriology. We can go through pneumatology. It doesn't matter, whatever the subject might be. We've got to make sure that those three remain throughout. So regardless of the messages we're hearing, the songs we're singing, the fellowship that we're enjoying, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. I want us to consider the life of a man. His name was Harland Saunders, and he was born in 1890. And at the age of 13, he decided to leave home and seek his own fortune. That's a young age. Okay, so Anesu, you're not going to be doing that, okay? Ola, you're not doing that. I know you're a little bit older, but you're not leaving home quite yet. But he made a mistake, actually. He left home at the age of 13. He decided, enough is enough, I'm going to go make a fortune. So his life took quite a lot of turns. He took on a number of different jobs, and he joined the army. He was discharged from the army after a certain period of time. He started stoking fires on steam engines. He got fired from that job. Then he took on various other roles. He even went and studied law, and he practiced law for a few years until he was fired from his job, from the law firm. He became an insurance salesman. He was fired from the insurance company. This is not the ABCs of how to live your life, okay? It's just an example. He started an oil lamp business, thinking this is early 1900s. He started an oil lamp business. But it went under because of the increased usage of electricity. He didn't have much foresight. And at age 60, he opened up a petrol station, which had to close because they decided they're going to build a freeway, they're going to build a highway through the middle of his petrol station. So at the age of 62, this guy called Harland Saunders started selling cooked chicken at the side of the road. And KFC was born. Colonel Saunders. We all know this logo. Colonel Saunders. Look at what he went through. But at age 62, he discovered KFC. Actually, from the age of 6, he had always been cooking. He had a real knack for cooking. And even though he was going through life, getting fired from this job, that job, the next job, he continued to work on some kind of a recipe. And he discovered at age 62, 11 herbs and spices that would appeal to everybody who wanted his chicken. And 72 years later, KFC continues with that same recipe, using those 11 herbs and spices to this very day. And KFC is now the second largest restaurant chain in the world. There are over 30,000 restaurants worldwide, and KFC is worth $6.7 billion US dollars. $6.7 billion. And you think, why? Well, we know that it wasn't the colonel's stickability to a job. He couldn't seem to hold down a job, okay? It wasn't that he had a great CV. In fact, you know, his whole work life was fraught and very unsuccessful. But I get confidence and hope in this. But he stuck to the recipe. He had those 11 herbs and spices. And over the last 72 years, from the start when KFC was founded to this very day, KFC used those 11 herbs and spices. How much more we should remain true to our secret ingredients. That we remain true to the blueprint, never wavering, never getting sidetracked. We're not going to add something extra to what the Bible says. We're not going to add something extra just to bring the people in. We're not going to do that. We're going to stick true to the recipe. There remain these three. faith, hope, and love. Those three ingredients remain in everything that we do. We're going to start today with the first one, faith. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to cover the other two. But today we're looking at faith. And Jesus asks this question in Luke 18, verse 8. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in all the earth? I think it's so interesting that Jesus doesn't say, will he find love in all the earth? Or will he find peace in all the earth? Or joy? He says, will I find faith? Jesus is looking for faith. Jesus is looking for faith. Was that you, Shanae? The little baby snoring. Why is Jesus looking for faith? Because faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is what pleases him. This is what pleases him. So if I have to try and finish in 24 minutes a message on faith, this should take a year's worth of series, just so many aspects of the subject of faith. But Hebrews chapter 12, I'm just going to try and bring this very practical today. Hebrews 12, 2 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. He's the one who starts it. He's the initiator. He's the pioneer of our faith. And he's the finisher. He's the one who perfects it. He perfects and matures our faith. So we're just going to look at those two aspects. He's the author and he's the finisher. So how do you get started in your faith journey? How do you get started? Our faith journey starts here when we hear the gospel. The day we hear the gospel, as that gospel message is preached, faith rises in our hearts. Listen to this in Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. The power of God. You know what? Sometimes I think when we're sharing our faith, we become apologetic. We don't need to be apologetic. The gospel message, the fact that Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for your sin and mine, there is power in that. There's power in the gospel. There's salvation for everyone who believes the good news of Jesus. The good news, there's power. You get saved instantly. In an instant, hearing the gospel message that Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for your sin, died the most brutal death, but he was raised from the dead, is the power. There's power in it, and it creates in us faith to rise, and we get saved as a result, our eternal salvation. No more separation from God. No more, well, I hope one day I get there. No, we can have absolute certainty. When we believe Jesus did that for us, that's the gospel. When we believe it, we, without a doubt, no hesitation, I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that good news? It is good news. Yes, Sandy. Praise God. Amen. Romans 1:17, the next verse, it says, for in it, what? The gospel, I put it in for you. Look at that. In it, oh no, Lala did. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is the holiness of God, the fact that God is holy and just, and he cannot accept sin. But the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Listen to what the Amplified says on that verse. It says this, and I love this. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. Man, we go from starting blocks. In other words, it's like one degree of faith to another, to another, to another. And you know, Jesus said these words. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all that's required. He's not looking for mega faith. We don't have to put on an act. We don't have to put on a show. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak all this Christianese. No. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, that's all that's required. And Jesus will add to that. As we just surrender to him, as we take on the word, as we grow, he will increase that faith. It'll spring forth from both springing from faith, leading to faith in a way that awakens more faith. There's a progressive development of faith. And then the last bit of that verse says, for the just shall live by faith. The just, four times. Those exact words appear in the Bible. Those exact words. Malachi, Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians. And we know when something is repeated, it's significant. There's something significant. What is Jesus saying here? The Bible is saying that there's an expectation from God that we are going to live by faith. We are going to live by faith. We are saved by faith. We're saved by faith in the grace of God. But it's our faith. It's God's grace. But we have to release our faith to get saved, to receive that power of God, that gospel message. And so we are saved by faith, but we also need to live by faith. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. We live by faith. We walk by faith. It's a journey. That word walk is the Greek word peripateo. It means a journey. So we start off with that little mustard seed, but that faith needs to grow. It needs to grow. It needs to develop. And what that means is that we're not moved by the circumstances. When we see things going on in our lives and things aren't happening the way we trust in God, we just keep walking by faith. We trust God. We're not going to be moved by circumstances. That thing hasn't moved. I don't care. I trust God. I take him at his word. If I've got a rhema word from God that thing, whatever it is going to move, then I'm going to believe the word of God. I don't believe the lie. I don't believe what's happening in front of my eyes. This is called walking by faith. Walking by faith, not swayed by circumstances. But this faith that I'm talking about, it's not mustered up. We're not just acquiring it in a vacuum. You can't just sit in a room on your own and say, well, bless God, I've got more faith today. It doesn't work like that. We can't muster it up. We can't psych ourselves up. Yes, today, hallelujah. And now comes the Christianese, hallelujah. I have faith today. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to make believe. We can just be real before God. We don't have to put a spiritual spin on everything. You know, it amazes me. Amazes me. Spiritual spin on conversations. Jesus isn't looking for mega faith. He's just looking for that mustard seed faith. And let's grow it. So what do we do when we recognize that we're lacking in faith in a certain area? So it's all very well, Sandy. Oh, you know, you say, yeah, you're going to trust the word, but I've been believing God for whatever the situation might be. Maybe it's a financial one. Maybe it's a health one. Maybe it's a relational one. Whatever it might be. How do you just sort of Have faith. Have faith. You know, it's like, that's not the way it works. Okay, we don't have to psych ourselves up. We don't have to think our way out of a thing. What we do is we go to the Word. You know, in the old days, like 30-something years ago, it's not that long ago, but we used to have a Strong's Concordance. Man, this thing was the size of a concrete block. You know these big concrete blocks that they build with nowadays? This thing was huge, that thick. In fact, we had to eventually get rid of it because everywhere we moved, we lugged this big, fat, Strong Concordance around with us. Because today, it's available at the tip of your fingers on Google. You can look up any word that you want. So if you feel that you're lacking in an area, lacking in faith, Google. Okay, but be careful. Don't believe, okay, please don't believe everything that you read on there. I'm talking about going to a concordance, okay, on Google. Go to Strong's Concordance, whatever it's called. But just look up scriptures, or maybe in the back of your Bible, you've got some references, and go look up scriptures. So if you're suffering from anxiety, if you're suffering from fear, if you're suffering from lack of finances, go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and find out, what does God say? What does God say? Get a word from God for yourself. Get a word from God. And then doesn't just stop there. What I would highly recommend, and I've been saved for 33 years by the grace and the goodness of God, to this day, I handwrite scriptures. I know them, I can quote it, I don't care. I handwrite it. This is what I do. I handwrite the whole thing. It does something inside of me. It just does something to me. And then I go back and I read it. I can quote it, but it doesn't matter. I take a scripture and I write it. And then I read it, just with my eyes. Then I start speaking it. It starts coming out of my mouth. This is what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is nothing that will build your faith more than hearing the Word of God coming out of your mouth. There's nothing better. I'm telling you, read it. Speak it, pray it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Allow that word to drop just from your eye gate, your ear gate into your heart. Let it become a rhema word to you. Because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart is what comes out. What comes out when you're under pressure, when you're pressurized? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Or is it that word? No, come on. This is how we build faith. This is how we build faith. Pray the word. Speak it. Hear it coming out of your mouth. So this week, especially now leading up to the week of Christmas, I've been reading the birth of Jesus. I've just been revisiting. It's so beautiful. Such a lovely time of the year, you know, just looking at the account of Jesus. And we see in Luke's gospel, we see Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and him and his wife Elizabeth, who's the cousin of Mary, they were barren. And for years and years and years, they were praying and trusting God for a baby. And then the angel of the Lord appears to Zacharias and says, your wife's going to, this time in a year's time, 9 months' time, your wife's going to have a baby. And what came out of him? But how can this be? This is impossible. He's talking to angel Gabriel, who's standing in God's presence, and he says, I doubt that. No, I'm sorry, I doubt that. So what does God do? Mutes Zacharias for 9 months. You think, gosh, poor, you know, for 9 months, no speaking. Why? so that he would shut down the unbelief, because our unbelief can negate the power of God in our lives. It can abort. It could have aborted the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner to Messiah. His role was so important, crucial, to be the forerunner of Jesus. But Zacharias, if God hadn't muted him, he could have aborted the birth of John the Baptist. So we need to watch the words of our mouth. Get the word of God in. Get the word of God in. This is one of our 11 herbs and spices, if you like. It's one of those three that remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith. So Jesus is the author. He's also the finisher of our faith. He's the one who starts it, and he's the one who matures it. And I know we've said this time and time again, but I can't resist saying it again. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know what? When we take on a new project, we do something, yes, excitement, yes, praise God, yes, excitement. And then after a couple of weeks, this is tiring. I'm not so enthusiastic anymore. Might start waning. No. When God's called you to do a thing, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But you've got to keep that word close. Keep it fresh in your heart. But we're going to keep this faith. We're going to keep it, have hearts of faith. Keep those core ingredients. You know, if you think about it, if we were to say, from next Sunday, we're not going to put anything up. We're not going to worship God. We're not going to praise God. We're not going to pray. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to sit here. Look like lemons, I don't know. We're just going to sit here for about an hour and a half. That's okay, so long as our core beliefs remain. So long as we're not going to do that, okay? We're not, just in case you're looking at me a bit weird, we're not doing that. But if everything is stripped away in our lives, if everything is stripped away, we need to have these three remaining in our lives, like Colonel Saunders. With those 11 herbs and spices, these three remain. This has got to be true to us. Faith, hope, and love. Listen to what 1 Timothy 6, it's not going to come up on the screen unless Lalala can beat me to it. 1 Timothy 6:11. It's not on the list, but you can see if you can get it up. 1 Timothy 6:11. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you to it. Oh, somebody tore out Timothy. Oh, there he is. 1 Timothy 6:11 says this. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee these things, talking about the love of money and all these things that take us into temptation, but pursue righteousness. Thank you. As many bond servants, verse. Oh, you're putting up 21 verses. Just verse 11. But you, man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith. Love that. Thank you. Faith. Pursue these things. Faith, love, patience. Pursue these things. Gentleness. Next verse, verse 12. Pursue love. Pursue faith. Pursue these things. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. This is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. When he was in Ephesus, he wrote this to Timothy, a young pastor. And he says that, pursue righteousness, faith, and love, but fight the good fight of faith. In other words, resist the temptation to doubt. Fight the good fight of faith. What does it mean, fight? It means you've got to contend. You've got to contend for your faith. You've got to fight for it. There's a lot pulling you away. There's a lot that will distract you and detract from your faith. So we've got to contend Fight the good fight. And then in 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul says this. This is his last letter that he wrote from a Roman prison. And he says this, I have fought the good fight. The Apostle Paul. Just after he wrote this, he was martyred. He was martyred. But he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. What do we need to do? How do we fight the good fight? Doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. When that thing pops up from within you, doubt it. Even say, no, I doubt that. No, I doubt that. No, this is what God says. This is the word that God's given me. I'm doubting my doubts. I've fought the good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because we win. Because we win. Even though the Apostle Paul went and got, you know, martyred, but he had run his race. It was the end of his life, even though his life was taken, but he had run his race and he maintained the fight of faith till the very last. So can we. You know, when we have opposition, when we have, doesn't matter what's going wrong in our lives, we can fight the good fight. We can stand on this word and trust God for victory. Over a number of weeks now, we've been looking at the life of Nehemiah, building the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls. And we see throughout that account of Nehemiah building the walls, time and time again, opposition that came against him. You know, just because you're doing the will of God, it doesn't mean everyone's going to be happy for you, okay? You're going to get some opposition. I mean, we're not going to go around with a victim mentality, but I'll tell you what, not everyone's going to be pleased that you're fulfilling God's plan and purposes. And this is what happened to Nehemiah. He hadn't even arrived in Jerusalem, and there were two guys, Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite. They heard that he was coming to Jerusalem. He hadn't even arrived yet. And they were already becoming quite annoyed with the fact that this guy's coming. It's the scripture up on the screen, Nehemiah 2:10. The interesting thing is that the opposition didn't come in the planning stage. It didn't come in the fasting stage. It didn't come in those 4 months of fasting and his praying and his standing on the word. The opposition came the minute he stepped out, just before he arrived in Jerusalem. And look what it says in Nehemiah 2:10. It says, when Sanballat, that guy, and Tobiah heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Deeply disturbed. And you go through the rest of Nehemiah, and you know what? Within two verses, there's another guy that's added to the group of two. His name is Geshem, the Arab. So it goes from two, adds another third. It goes to three. Back in 1990-something, I heard a message by a guy called Brian Houston, one of his early messages. It was entitled, The Power of Negativity. The Power of Negativity. It's one of those messages I've never forgotten. And in it, he said this, and there's so much truth in this, that if you go to a party, a dinner, whatever it is, and if you have two negative people in that room, they always find themselves. They find each other. Power of negativity. Negativity attracts. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It attracts. And if suddenly, so there were the two at Nehemiah building the walls, suddenly, boom, there's another one. There's three. There's three of them now that are against what Nehemiah's doing. You go forward another couple of chapters, and suddenly it's no longer just the three. It starts including tribes and enemies. And the opposition goes from this being deeply disturbed, and it just increases in opposition and intention, and goes from this sarcastic mocking to conspiring to actually physically attack Nehemiah and the children of Israel. And in fact, in Nehemiah 6, we read, and we're not going to go there, but in Nehemiah 6, we hear that Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the rest of their enemies invite Nehemiah four times to come. Come and talk to us. Come to a meeting at the plain of Ono. Ono. I tell you what, if someone invites you to a meeting at a place called Ono, here's a word of advice. Don't go. Don't go. And this is what Nehemiah did. He didn't go. He didn't go. He said these words. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. He didn't even go and tell them himself. He sent a messenger. He said, I'm not coming down from this work. So what I'm saying is, when you're walking the life of faith, when you are walking by faith, opposition will come. But don't be discouraged. You've got to stand on the word. Don't allow it to take you away. Don't allow it to distract you from what God has called you to do. Stay away from the valley of Ono. Don't get distracted. Don't give up. Faith never quits. Faith never quits. That's the only time it won't work, is when we quit. But we're going to be like the Apostle Paul. No, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. So it's not how we start, it's how we finish. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. What he starts, he completes. And everything in between, everything in between. I don't know if you've noticed, life can be messy. Eh? It's like, I like neat boxes. I'm a little like that. I like neatness. I like neat boxes. But there's always this mess in the middle between the start and the finish. And that's where Jesus is as well. He's in the middle. He's in the middle. But we've got to stay doing. We're not going to give up halfway. We're not going to get off the wall. Don't leave the wall. Keep going. Faith, having a word from God, is what will keep you constant. If you're just going somewhere on your own thinking, what seems right to you, you've not got much to hold on to. But when you've got a word from God, that's what sustains you. Faith will sustain you. It will keep you constant. It will keep you consistent. You won't be wavering. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? What about, what if, doubts that come? No, what did God say? Just keep going back. What did God say? Keep that scripture, keep that word close to your heart. Start meditating on it. Get it coming out of your heart and your mouth. So, faith is the fuel that keeps us sound, that keeps us solid, that keeps us on track, keeps us doing what needs to be done, keeps on believing what needs to be believed. 1 John 5:4, the last one, says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This is the victory. We fight the good fight of faith. When we follow God's word, when we follow his leading, based on the word of God, this is the victory. It gives us victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. They will never change. We remain true to the very fabric of who we are. Our core ingredients will never change. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We got through it. Praise God. I enjoyed that. Did you? Praise God. You feel inspired. You feel like you're going to go to the Bible today and you're going to go and look up a scripture, something for you to hold fast onto, and you're going to keep that and you're going to write it out. And you're going to start speaking it. You're going to start reminding yourself. This is faith 101. It's good for us. This is good stuff. I enjoy this. This is good stuff. I enjoyed my own message. Am I allowed to say that? Praise God. Well, if I don't, then you can see it. But praise God. Let's stand. We're going to go out. We're going to have some tea, some coffee. It's okay. Have some tea, some coffee, some biscuits, hopefully. And Father, I just thank you for your word today. You are good, Lord, and you do good, and you work all things together for our good. I thank you, Father God, that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And we're going to become known as people full of faith, full of hope, full of the love of God for you and for each other. Lord, touch your people, bless them, encourage them this week, Father. Lord, would you speak into our lives? Lord, would you surprise us? Lord, would you surprise us? Would you sort of just sneak up on us and surprise us, Lord, with good things this week? We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God.